Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about fasting tonight, because I know that's been a subject hot and heavy on your minds. You've been thinking about, boy, I sure would like to have some information on fasting and prayer. Well, okay, maybe I'm exaggerating slightly. Maybe a whole bunch. But it is something that the Bible gives us as a tool, as an opportunity. And so I realize it's not perhaps one that... it's not our first resort, probably. It's not the one we would choose first off and say, well, I think this week I'm just going to not eat for the glory of God. And yet, I think there's some really good things about fasting that are helpful to us. Now, I know a lot of people today kind of take almost a Lent approach to fasting. You all familiar with Lent? You know, it's some other groups practice Lent, and basically that's where they give up something for a time leading up to Easter. There, you know, they give up, you know, eating certain things or doing. And some people take a similar approach in fasting of, well, I'm going to give up Facebook. For some of you, that would be no sacrifice. I'm going to give up watching television. I'm going to give up, whatever it is. You know, they'll pick out something. And that's okay. I mean, that's not, you know, biblically, that's not what Jesus was talking about. But it certainly, you know, it could be a good thing. It could be a helpful thing to you. And that's not, you know, specifically what we're thinking about tonight, but, you know, that could be a good thing. I'm personally thinking about giving up all my attention on Razorback football. And, that's only funny because they're really not very good this year. So, you know, it's easy to give up when they're not. But I want us to think about praying and fasting. And, we've suggested that if you'd like to pray and fast for revival, we're gonna have an emphasis on Thursday. We're not going to do anything with that, except we're just going to kind of lay it out there in front of you. We're not asking you to tell us or to, you know, let us know or anything, because we'll get into that. Fasting is one of those things. It's like humility. You know, once you know you have it, you've probably lost it. And so we want to, you know, we want to approach fasting in a biblical way and have a focus that is proper. And so let's look at a passage that Jesus gave us regarding fasting in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. And here's the one thing I would say about fasting. If you are dealing with an issue, with a problem, something that's going on, and you are really struggling or having a hard time, maybe it's something you're praying about, but you know you're really concerned about it, burdened about it, then I think this is a very good thing in that it will help you focus like nothing else will. Okay? I mean, every time your stomach rumbles, you'll be saying, why am I... okay, I'm praying. I'm praying about this. And so, it can really be a good thing. But there's some abuses of it. And that's one of the things that Jesus was speaking to in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, and beginning in verse 16. If you have found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God, God's holy and inspired and inerrant Word. Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful this evening for Your Word. And Lord, I confess I have nothing to offer these folks tonight. God, I pray that You will speak to their hearts and You will give them truth from Your Word and principles, God, of fasting that will enable them and help them to fast in a way that honors You. And so, Lord, we just give You all the glory and all the praise. You alone are worthy. And we thank You now and we praise You. We pray together in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now, most of the information on your handout here is gleaned from Ronnie Floyd's book on prayer and fasting. He has a very good book on prayer and fasting, and if you're interested in the subject, I would strongly recommend that to you. Sounds like the emergency services people are out this evening, so we need to be praying. That was Zach, in fact. We need to be praying for whoever's in trouble, whoever's in need. Okay, so a fast, we're defining here a fast as a time in which we abstain from food for a spiritual purpose. And so, this is something that is closely linked with prayer in Scripture. And in fact, when Jesus speaks of it here, He doesn't say if you fast or, you know, should you fast. He says when you fast. And it's almost an assumption that there will be times of fasting. And so I think it is a very powerful spiritual discipline that will help you to focus your praying. I mean, you talk about laser pinpoint praying. Well, I think fasting is one of the tools that God has given us to help us to be able to really focus in on what we're praying about, what it is that we're concerned for. And so Jesus gives us some things here from a negative standpoint of what some people did as an abuse of fasting. Some folks, when they would fast, they would put ashes on their head as a sign of mourning and fasting, or they would not wash their face or comb their hair, and you know they would attempt to let everyone know, and that kind of fits with the overall picture that we have of the Pharisees. They were very externally motivated. They were very focused on what they looked like and what people thought of them and how they were perceived. And so when they stood up in prayer, you know, to pray in public, they would make sure everyone was watching. Or when they gave their offering to the temple, they would make sure everyone was noting how, you know, big a chunk of change was, you know, in that bag as they dropped it in. They were doing something that was very much focused on gaining the approval of men. And so Jesus said, that's not why we fast. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's for. And so as we think about fasting, Jesus said, those people who do that, they have their reward. And the picture here with fasting is that it's almost like it's very similar to praying. You know, Jesus also said, when you pray, go into your prayer closet, go into your private secret place and pray in secret. You know, and you don't do it for others. You don't do it so that others will be how spiritual he must be. How wonderful she is. Look at her. And, you know, Jesus said these people have their reward. And, folks, we're not doing anything that we do for the Lord. Now, let's be clear. My old pastor used to have a problem with anybody who raised their hand in church. I mean, other than volunteering for, you know, a job or something, if you raised your hand in church, he thought you were trying to draw attention to yourself or you were trying to you know, and certainly you can do that. But you can also do that through prayer or through singing or through giving or through any other spiritual activity that you go into. And it's all about our hearts. It's all about how we approach this. That's the key to everything that we do for the Lord. But Jesus told these folks here, He said, when you fast, verse 17, anoint your head and wash your face. And when you get out in front of men, you should not be looking to make the impression of how wonderful a person they are or anything like that. It should be instead focused on the Father. And notice what He said here in verse 18. But unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Well, there's an interesting thought. God is going to work in such a way that although nobody even knows about some of the things that we do for Him, He knows. Now, is that enough? If no one ever knows what you do for Jesus, if no one ever says thank you for what you do, thank you, you do such a good job. If no one ever sees or notices or knows, is it enough that God knows? It is, but I'm going to be honest with you. There's a part of us that wants the praise of men, the recognition, the pats on the back, the, you know, building up. And, you know, we need to encourage one another. And we need, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, boy, that song really, you know, was a blessing, or that Sunday school lesson, or, you know, or something that people do, or thank you for bringing food over, that was such a blessing, or, you know, whatever you do for people, that's great. And don't be afraid to thank them or let them know what that means, because I think that's wonderful. But we don't want to do things for that. We don't want to go into it hoping, well, if I just do this, then James is going to notice me. And James is going to think I'm really something else. And that'll be awesome. Well, you know, our focus needs to be on the Lord. So we're going to look at another scripture in Isaiah 58 in a few moments. But let's walk through a little bit of this sheet here. And this kind of goes along with what we started with here in the scripture. Prayer and fasting are improper when persons seek, number one, to fulfill selfish desires, ambitions. We're just looking for our own benefit. Number two, to manipulate God. And yes, we have people today who try to manipulate God and try to get what they want through certain things. And that's not a biblical approach, and it isn't right. Number three, to elevate their status or advance their own agenda. You know, it's not about that stuff. Whatever we do, it is for the Lord. Number four, to promote false piety, legalism, or religious duty, which is what I see there on the part of the Pharisees. They were very much focused on this outward righteousness. And what we need to be concerned with is an inward righteousness. It is of God, and it's through God. It's what He's doing on the inside of us. And then notice the second section there. Prayer and fasting are improper when they draw attention to self. Okay? Draw attention to the fact that you are fasting with the desire to bring glory to self. Number three, are attempted without sufficient seriousness and respect. And I would say this, if you're interested in fasting or if you want to do a fast, I would encourage you to really pray about it and really make sure that you're prepared spiritually, because there is a battle there. There is a struggle there. Your flesh will complain a little bit. And, you know, it is a challenge in some ways. And so you want to approach it with the right attitude and taking it seriously. It's not one of those things I've ever been able to do just, you know, off the cuff. Just, you know, on the spur of the moment, say, I think I'm going to fast. That has never worked for me, you know. I'll have a bad headache by, 9 o'clock, and I'm miserable and grouchy and grumpy, and I'm like, Lord, I know this isn't helping anybody, including myself. And number four, conducted while continuing in sin. Well, that kind of needs to be said, but should go without saying. But we can't approach the Lord and try to really grow close to Him while we're continuing to allow sin that's there. Number five, are conducted while continuing to pursue selfish desires in pleasure and business. Number six, conducted while harboring improper or ungodly attitudes. Well, I believe Jesus spoke to that. We're to forgive others, and if we do not, we will not be forgiven. Our prayers are going to be unanswered. Number seven, are conducted while promoting or continuing injustice, oppression, or impropriety. Number eight, are conducted without drawing aside daily and dedicating ample time for sincere seeking for God, quiet communion with God, and devoted prayer to God. And I think, this is one of the keys. This is one of the keys for fasting, is that when we fast, we want to make sure that our focus is on the Lord. We're doing it for the Lord, and it's about Him, but we're also spending time with Him. We're focused on prayer. We're focused on that. And it's interesting because fasting will draw you closer to the Lord. It does do that. Okay. The third section there on page one, God's Word reveals that He honors and blesses when the fast, number one, focuses on God and honors Him. So, you'll be blessed. You'll be helped in some way. But really, that's not our motivation, I don't think, or the right motivation for doing it. We want to do something that will honor the Lord and that will be a blessing. Number two, and this is very important, your fast has God's blessing and His approval when it has a spiritual purpose. It's not just a time of, trying to lose a pound or two. Certainly you can probably do that, but that's not the beginning point. That's not the primary benefit. Now there is there certainly is a physical benefit in fasting, and that's there, but I don't think that's the reason for a spiritual fast. Thirdly, it causes individuals to humble themselves and to submit to God's authority and His Word. And the way I look at that is that, there's a lot of things that we can do, but when we begin to fast and pray, I think we have stepped over a line that says, boy, I am heart and soul in this thing. I am committed to this thing. When you begin to deny your stomach, and Philippians speaks about folks whose God is their belly. Maybe I shouldn't mention that in a Baptist church. I don't know. Haven't heard too many sermons on that text over the years. Haven't preached too many either, but it is there. We want to have the ability to humble ourselves and to submit to God's authority, to submit to His Word. And I think prayer and fasting is a powerful way that we can do that. Let's see. Number four, causes individuals to acknowledge and repent of sin. God's going to speak to you during these times. Number five, deprives our natural desires in order to focus on the spiritual aspects of our nature. There's some things. Now, the second page, you must have a call from God to fast. It's not just something to jump into on a, on a whim. And if God doesn't speak to your heart and say to you, this is something to do, then I wouldn't try it. But pray about it and ask Him if He has something for you there. And if He does, then He will let you know that. He will speak to your heart about that. And then secondly, determine in advance the length of the fast that God is calling you to undertake. You know, you need to have this. There are people who've done a 40-day fast, and that's a pretty extreme form of fasting. And I know several who've done several days of fasting. Most of my fasting has been one day, and but you need to define that up front. You need to have it spelled out as to what you feel God wants you to do. And then, number three, this is, we kind of mentioned this, but if God calls you to a fast, He has some specific reasons. He's got some things that He's doing in your heart and in your mind. So you need to sit down and you need to write those out. So, okay, here's why I feel like God is calling me to fast. Here's what I see that I really need to focus on. Now, there's some of these principles that you can take and apply to some areas, whether you're doing a fast or not. You know, this can apply in your prayer life, that there's some things that God wants you to really focus on. And wouldn't it be right, and wouldn't it be good to absolutely to focus in on those things and zero in on them and spell them out? You know, have them written out and clearly defined. Well, so write those things down and ask God to help you to. And here's the thing I found. When I have a very specific purpose, I find that my fasting is much easier because I'm not struggling so much with, why am I doing this? I know why I'm doing this. And it becomes much easier to do. And fasting is not easy in some ways. I'll just be honest. You know, there's parts of it I don't love. I don't enjoy. But this has helped me very much to have some specific things that I'm praying about. Because every time my stomach groans and grumbles and complains, and then I see my list. And I think, okay, I'm praying for my family, or I'm praying for my church family, or I'm praying for revival. I'm praying for whatever it is that God's put on my list, and that helps me to stay focused and to stay strong. Number four, identify, confess, and repent of all revealed sin before and during your fast. Continue to ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart and to reveal any concealed sins. Unconfessed sins and disobedience hinder prayer and fasting. Well, they hinder everything we do for the Lord. But this is especially important. Be sensitive, number five, to the Spirit's promptings about reconciliation or restoration of broken relationships. Number six, pray fervently and frequently. Number seven, spend much time in God's Word. Isaiah 58, Luke 4 are good chapters. Just really try to spend time in the Word. Number eight, reserve time to be still before the Lord. Record what He puts in your heart. I think too much of our prayer life is our asking or even our telling God rather than waiting on God, waiting and asking Him to speak to us and to help us to hear. Number nine, often pray audibly from a kneeling position. At times, get on your face before God. This helps you keep focused on your purpose for your fast. I mean, anything you can do that will help you to stay focused. You know, there's some of these things you can use in your time of prayer that's coming up this next weekend. You know, our 24 hours of prayer. You know, without even fasting. Yet still, there's some things here that will help you to prepare your heart for that. Number 10, praise God verbally and in song for who He is and what He's done. Worship Him. You know, get your mind off of yourself. That's one of the biggest things for me. Is when I begin to praise God, then, man, it's amazing how God lifts me up and helps me. Number 11, seek God about when, how, or with whom you may share your experience. And I think that's you know, based on what Jesus said. You know, you're to do what you do in secret, not wanting attention, not wanting glory. God may allow you or you know, give you a freedom to share that with others at some point, but you know, be careful about that. And then some physical suggestions. Number one, taper off the size of your meals before you begin your fast. You might think, well, I'm going to really load up right before I start this thing, and that'll help me. But probably that's not a good idea. You know, probably that's not going to help you. It will only stretch out your belly even more. And then when it starts going without, you'll feel even more hungry. Number two, determine what kind of fast you will undertake. Total abstinence, I mean nothing. Water only, or water and juice. You know, there's different approaches and different ways that people have done fasting, and especially with like a 40-day fast, I think the people I've heard talk about it who've done it, you know, have done some type of water and juice, something like that. But you know, you want to be careful. Number three, avoid chewing gum. Now this was interesting to me. I had never really thought about this, and some of you gum chewers, this would be tough. I'm not a gum chewer, but some of you are. And so chewing activates the digestive process. That means your stomach's going to be trying to work and trying to digest, and there's not much there or anything there to really digest, and so it's only going to make things worse. And then four, you know, just be careful about juices and that kind of things. Number five, if you have a medical condition or you're taking medications or you're concerned about anything like that, talk to someone who is able to give you, good seasoned advice on that. If you have, you know, I can't tell you a medical doctor familiar with fasting off the top of my head. I don't know. But, you can at least talk to someone about the physical impact on your body. And you know, if you just say, you know, I just don't feel like I can do that physically, I understand that. And so you may want to adapt. You know, you may want to adjust and do something. You may want to say, well, I'm going to miss a meal. You know, my fast is going to be shorter, or you know, whatever. I mean, do what you can do. Do however you can do this. Now we've suggested Thursday, and so there's a lot of different ways, and you can kind of, if you choose to fast, you can do it whenever. But probably whenever I fast, what I usually do is I begin in the evening, and I'll have breakfast and lunch that day, and then I won't eat supper. And I'll drink water, typically, is what I do, but nothing else. And then I won't eat breakfast, and I won't eat lunch, and I will have my next meal at supper time the next day. So, you know, that's what has kind of worked for me, but, you know, there's no right way or wrong way that I know of. It's really what you can do and are willing to do. I just think that fasting is a powerful tool that will help you to zero in on really difficult issues in your own life. And praying for revival, I think, it's a great approach, because it will help you to pray much more effectively, much more fervently than you otherwise would. So, any thoughts or questions on prayer and fasting? It's not something that we hear a lot about today, but I think it is something that, you know, we need to be aware of, and we need to do when God. You know, I've had times when I've fasted regularly, and then other times just when I felt some special need. But all right. Well, let's turn to Isaiah 58. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to close from there. And just think together about again. It's a warning, And I think that it's needed in some ways because we often approach things like fasting or praying or witnessing or giving or whatever it may be. We come at it from the wrong direction and we're doing it for wrong, with a wrong motivation, for the wrong reason. And so Isaiah gives a warning here. Now, you know, if you're familiar with Isaiah, Isaiah is full of some really strong rebukes against the people of Israel for their religious practices, not just for what they were doing, but, you know, chapter 1. If you go back to chapter 1 and you read it, boy, God really got on them. He says, I don't even want you bringing your sacrifices. Your festivals and your holy days and everything are meaningless because your hearts are far from me. And you're doing what you do, but you're doing it for some other purpose than for me. And so let's read chapter 58 here. Verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward, or thy rear guard. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You know, Isaiah says there is a fast that honors God. But sometimes it's not that act of fasting. If our heart isn't in the right place, if we're not doing it for the right reason, I think he would say, why bother? Why even bother? So But that's also true of every other spiritual discipline. That's true of everything we do for Christ. So let me encourage you tonight that God knows where we are. And He knows what we can do and what we can't do. And I'm certainly not trying to call you to fast. Okay? That is not my intention. I want you to be aware of fasting as a practice, as a spiritual discipline. And it may be that God will speak to you and say, this is something I want you to do. And if He does, that's great. That's fine. And it's good. And if He doesn't, that's fine. That's also good. You know, we're all in a little different place, and God may have us doing different things. So that's okay. But boy, if God gives you this, then I encourage you to really pray about it even before you undertake it and ask God to help you, because it's an interesting challenge to deny yourself. We speak of denying self sometimes. Here's one of those ways it's kind of a tough thing. And I realize there's health considerations and there's different things that different folks deal with. I get all of that. So, no matter whether you fast or not, we can all pray, you know. But if God gives it to you, that's fine. That's good. That's good. All right, we're going to close with a moment just to pray and seek the Lord. And we can pray about this very thing. You know, just say, God, what do you have for me? You know, is there something this week? And it may not even be, you know, it may be, you know, I want you to call your friend over here who needs me. I want you to call and just invite them to church. I want you to, you know, write a card or note this week to some of the folks that been on your heart. Or I want you to really focus in prayer. Or, you know, whatever it is, God may say, I want you to go talk to this person and try to share what God's done for you and how He's blessed you. God may put somebody in your heart to share the gospel with. But let's pray. Let's ask God as we prepare for a week of trying to hear from the Lord and trying to focus on the Lord. Let's just ask Him if there are things in our heart that He wants to do. So let's bow. Father, in this moment, we're grateful tonight for Your Word. Father, we pray that You will bless each person who's here tonight. Thank You for each one. Lord, would You speak to them? Would You call them, Lord, to exactly what You have for them this week? Lord, speak to them and show them areas where they can serve You, what things they can do for You. Lord, whether it's prayer and fasting or whatever it may be, God, would You help us to understand exactly what You want us to do and how we can serve You best. So, Father, we just ask You to give us a clear word, a clear understanding, and we trust You and we thank You for what You're going to do. And, Lord, in all of this, we pray for the Lord Jesus to be lifted up and glorified. We pray that in every area of our life, Lord, that Jesus will be exalted. So, Father, help us even tonight. If there's sin, if there's attitudes, if there's things wrong, God, help us to lay that before You. And, Father, we just thank You so much for Your Word.